some thoughts that were on my mind as well. And once while he was speaking, I thought that I believe the Lord led us to a similar theme. But each of us this evening is heading for eternity. And let's think about that question of why we have a council service. What is so important about this? What is the big deal? That's maybe putting it sort of casually, but I wondered today as I thought about our council service, I wondered in nominal Christianity, Protestant churches that have communion services, do they have any kind of a council service? Apostate Mennonites, I'm not sure about that. But why do we have a council service? You know, we're all heading toward eternity, aren't we? Someday we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Or else we will pass on before his return, and our bodies will be put in the ground, be buried. This evening coming here to church, I passed a graveyard, and out in the graveyard was two people with their umbrellas, and they were standing by a grave, just observing, probably had tears in their eyes. Memories were flooding their minds. I don't know what their situation was. But we're heading for eternity, and we have a soul. It's that part of our being that cannot be located or physically handled. Scientists have tried to find man's soul, and of course it was to no avail. There's no way. It can't be done. But we will live on and on and on and on and on. The songwriter in the song Lift Your Glad Voices, Henry Ware, wrote in verse 3, "Glory to God in full anthems of joy, the being he gave us death cannot destroy." And we have a being that will live on throughout eternity. And because of Christ and his rising again, we can have hope. We're not of all men most miserable, but we have hope of tomorrow. Eternity is a long time. In fact, eternity isn't time. It's just eternity. There will be no diminishing of time, no lengthening the shadows of the evening. It will be one eternal day. And it will be a time of praise and adoration to the one with whom we were endeavoring to be conformed to in this life through the work of Christ. The reason that we live right today is more than just simply wanting to make it to glory. It's more than just simply that we want to make it to heaven. Now that's, of course we do. But we live right because of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's our Savior. He's the one who died for us. He loved us before we loved him. He is the one who gave his all for us. And because of Christ and because of his work in our hearts, because of us accepting him in our hearts, we have a changed heart. And a changed heart yields a changed life. We live differently. We have a different outlook. Brother Galen referred to some things that we need to chip away possibly. And we do that because we love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We walk in his ways. We follow his footsteps. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 14 through 17 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Behold, all things are become new. And we are new creatures. And so because we are new, because we are changed, then we're going to live differently. We're going to live for him. And our lives will be set free from selfish bondage. Our hearts set free from selfish bondage. And we long to serve the kingdom of Christ. And as I was thinking about this today again, and just thinking about our council service, and I thought, you know, what a blessing it is to just look out across your faces and look into the faces of those that are redeemed. What a privilege, what a blessing that we've been redeemed, we've been set free from bondage, and we are together serving the kingdom of Christ. Praise God. And so as you think about your life, you think about preparing for eternity, you think about what is it that is important to a soul that knows Christ? You know, council is not cleanup time. It is and it isn't. When we take inventory of our lives, it's right that we look back over our lives. It's good. It's right that we have introspection. Council should be a time when we look at ourselves. Communion is a time when we think about our own relationship. It's not a time to necessarily think about the issues in others' lives. And so it is a time that we check ourselves. And so if there's cleaning up that needs done, let's do it. Let's be prepared for communion. We want to come to the Lord's table and partake worthily. But you know, partaking of the communion emblems does not cover a carnal heart. It doesn't change God's attitude toward you. God doesn't think well of us, even though we have carnal hearts. He doesn't think well of us because we partook in communion. In fact, we know it's the opposite. But coming into the council room and giving a positive testimony of your life is only possible through Christ. We know that. But it's also possible because you care about it. You care about your Christian life. You care about being right with God. You care about, and you long to grow more and more like him. And so it's possible tonight because you've been working at this every day. You've been diligent in your Christian life. You care about your relationship with Christ. You care about your relationship with the church. And so as it relates to your soul, there are things that are important to you. You treasure your relationship with Christ. And so you treasure those things that help you maintain that relationship. You treasure your hope of eternal life. You treasure victory and freedom from bondage. You treasure those things that allow you every day to say yes to God. Not just tonight, but every day. You treasure those things that allow for you to say yes to the three questions that we'll look at tonight. And so, for a title of the message this evening, I've entitled it Treasures of the Soul. And there's just a lot of things we could look at. And I have five things that I'd like to look at this evening. I intend to have just a short message so that we have ample time for in the council room for your testimonies. And so I like to look at these five areas, and there's many, many more. There's many treasures. But brothers and sisters tonight, these things need to be dear to us. They need to be on our hearts. And living for God and allowing him to work in and through our personal lives. Each day must be important to us. And so the first one I have is peace with God. And tonight, that's the first question. Do you have peace with God? Think about the reality of being able to have peace with God. How is it that a great and almighty sovereign one, the creator of the vast expanses of the universe, even thought about making man? Like, why would have he even done that? Why would he even think about the possibility of creating little people to walk on this terrestrial ball? Why did he even think about creating the earth that is suitable for a place for man to live? He had that all planned out, didn't he? When he spoke the word, it all was in existence. But he not only thought to make man, but he made us in his very own image. In the image of God created he them, male and female. And it's a God that created the vast expanse of the universe, and we can have a relationship with him that is a two-way relationship. God isn't an angry God up in the skies somewhere that is angry with man. He's angry with us most of the time, and we need to do things to try to appease his anger. That's not our God. But I looked at those verses in Psalm 116, and God is gracious, and he's righteous, and he's merciful. Sometimes we like to make room for ourselves, and we like to think about the mercifulness of God. And it'll probably be all right, even though we're not living the way we should. But God is a righteous God. And through the work of Christ, he makes it possible so that we as unrighteous human beings can come in a right relationship with him through the cleansing, through repentance and cleansing of our hearts, and we can be new creatures in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18 says this. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So when we are at one with Christ and we are living for him and we are serving him, we can be partakers of the liberty that comes, the freedom that comes through knowing him. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What does it mean to be changed into the same image from glory to glory? How is it that man, redeemed men, can express the glory of God, his righteousness, his holiness? The work of Christ in our hearts and the fact that we can have peace tonight is an expression of the glory of God and a proof of his interest in man and his care of man and providing for our souls. Jesus emphasized that he and the Father were one. He talks about that in John chapter 10. Peace with God. We're thinking about peace and oneness, or I should say it this way, that in order for peace to reign in a home relationship and a workplace and in a church and in the heart, in our hearts, there needs to be oneness. There needs to be togetherness. And so think about that. Here in John chapter 10 and verse 14, Jesus here was speaking. He said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, they also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Speaks of oneness. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. And then in verse 30, he says, I and my Father are one. And so if there's that kind of unity and union and oneness with God the Father and God the Son, and as redeemed believers and as heirs together with Christ, there's oneness in that fellowship we have with Christ. There's oneness in our relationship with God, and there's oneness with each other as we work together and as we together are made in his image and conformed to his likeness. And then over in John chapter 17, he talks again about the oneness of he and the Father. In verses 21 to 23, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And you probably thought about it, that he says twice that this oneness is conducive to the world. This oneness is necessary so that the world may know. You see that? And so, brothers and sisters, we need to be at one in Christ, and we need to be at one with each other. As we serve together, as we worship together, as we live together, as we are in congregational life, it's part of our testimony. And when that's marred, then our testimony is marred as well. We can be one only through Christ. Peace is an openness before God. Peace is a transparency with our lives. And I wrote this question down, that are there areas of your life that you really don't want to think too deeply about how God might feel about it? That's kind of a clumsy way of saying it. But sometimes I think there can be areas in our life, have been areas in my life maybe that I didn't want to think too deeply about those areas and think about how God actually feels about it. We sort of brush over it then. As men this evening, are you living morally upright? Are you having victory? Peace with God. God doesn't require us to be perfect, but God requires us to be holy and have holy desires. He requires that we are upright. Peace with God has everything to do with your willingness to be conformed to his image and the image of his dear Son. Secondly, another treasure is brotherhood. And we could call this the church. We could call it a number of different words, but I've just entitled it brotherhood. We need each other today. And God has designed that we would work together, that he designed the church, he's Lord of the church, he established the church. The church was established in Acts, but it was because of Christ going back to heaven, returning back to heaven, and the Holy Spirit coming and being poured out on the believers. And churches were established. Many, many thousands were baptized into the church. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15 says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And I like to just emphasize that point, that thought, that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And it's here, brothers and sisters, where truth is established. I didn't say that right. Truth is established in the Word. We can't change truth, but it's here where we study and we understand and we help each other to understand. It's here where we establish truth in our hearts and in our lives as we work together and as we live among each other and as we challenge each other. The church is where truth is taught. The church is where the principles of God's word are laid out in practical everyday life. The pillar and ground of the truth. And it's where we find stability. It's where we find a foundation for our lives. It's where young people find their foundation. It's where young married couples find their foundation. It's in the brotherhood. As we find the pillars of truth and righteousness taught and lifted up. He says here, he told Timothy that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. And one of the things that I see there is that as church leaders, we need to conduct ourselves in our lives and the church in a way that truth can be established. Truth can be established in your hearts. God forbid that we would ever be hindrances to the truth. And I believe this verse also teaches that truth is established in my personal life through my connection with the brotherhood and my connection with the church. Moving on, the third one I have is the gift of godly music. And this is maybe a strange point for a council service, but as I thought about treasures of the soul, we have just a tremendous gift and heritage of music. And the way music, godly music, blesses my life during the day, the way it blesses your life, the gift to be able to just sing as you're going about your work, and the hymns, the Bible truths that go through your mind or rooted in your mind through song, through a hymn, is tremendous. We have a tremendous heritage. Last Friday evening, we were at Chapel's school program, and afterwards, one of the family's neighbor couple was there to listen, and they came up and were talking to one of the boys that they knew, and I happened to be standing there. And this is what this lady asked. She said, "So who wrote all these songs?" Like, it seemed like there was a theme that it seemed to her that this must have been one writer that wrote these songs. And she's just wondering who this writer is. And this teenage boy wasn't quite sure what to say, so I opened my big mouth, you know, and ventured an answer, and I told her, I said, "Well, actually, some of these are really old hymns." And I said, "You know, this is just a collection of hymns that we have in our books that written by over a period of span of a lot of years by a lot of different people," and she just couldn't believe it. And we have this heritage of gospel music that blesses our lives. And God intends that music would be an avenue of worship. Music is a way that we can express our love for Him and our adoration. It's a way that we can express our delight in the peace that we have with God and our appreciation for the kingdom of God. Let's love godly music and wholesome music. Fourthly, another treasure of the soul is that we have the gift of choice. And you may again say, "Well, what does that have to do with the subject tonight?" But as I thought about the treasures of being able to live for God and do what's right, you know, we're not coerced into following God. Each of us this evening makes our own choices. We do. We each choose. And we can take our own way, and that's a choice we make, and we live with the consequences. We can choose to do right, and we can have peace. And a peace testimony tonight is a result of you and I making right choices. Putting off and putting on. Mortify, therefore, the deeds of the flesh. The ability and opportunity to choose. Our circumstances nor other people force or coerce us or dictate our choice and actions. But we all have the opportunity to choose right. We're not forced into bad choices. Doesn't matter the kind of treatment that we received, whether we've been wronged, whether we've been hurt by others. There's some unfortunate things that come our way. There really are. There's some things that happen to even God's people that shouldn't happen. But we have the gift of choice and the opportunity to choose Christ and to choose freedom rather than living in bondage. And so we're privileged to come to the council room and confidently give a peace testimony because we've put off and we've put on the new man. And we can come confidently, but we can't come proudly. There's a difference. We need to come humbly. The gift of choice. Our accountability questionnaires that get handed out sometimes, maybe once a year or every other year. I'm not sure how often you do it here. But you know, that accountability questionnaire is not only about technology. It is and it isn't. But you know what else it's about? It's about whether you're able to say no to some really severe challenges in your life. That's what it's about. And it's a good thing for us to be able to need to fill that out and just check ourselves. It's not about sneaking by. It's not about trying to figure out the technicalities of the questions and seeing how you can get around it so that nobody figures out what you're doing. That's not what it's about. It's about whether you're able to say no to some very tempting challenges in your life. And last of all, is the treasure of forgiveness. I'd like to just look at three verses yet. Forgiveness, we know that being able to share a testimony of peace with our brothers and those around us, and a peace testimony with God, is because of forgiveness. God is a loving God. We know that we're promised that when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But it doesn't just happen. We need to repent. We need to confess. It's through confession that we find forgiveness with God. Forgiveness. I said already that probably most of us have faced and received treatment that was not right. We've been hurt, we've been offended. What is the response of a Christian? How do we live with that? How do we deal with that? Can we forgive? Christ's answer is forgiveness. And forgiveness is a way of life for the Christian. We don't hold grudges. We don't hold ill will, but we forgive. And when we do not forgive someone, there's just a wall, and there's a bondage in our own hearts and lives that inhibits and prohibits a victory in our hearts. Remember years ago, an old man, I don't know how old he was at that time, I thought he was old. He was certainly older than I am now, so. But he was an older man, and he was out of the church, and he had struggled for years. And there were those that had wronged him. And he told me this. He said, well, they've never come back and asked me for forgiveness. How can I forgive them? And so we talked about that. And praise God, later on he was willing to forgive those in his past and he came back to a right relationship with God. Forgiveness. Acts chapter 26 and verse 18 says this, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And so to find forgiveness with God, we need to repent. We need to turn from darkness to light. Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And it's when we understand forgiveness in our hearts, then we can forgive others. Until we understand forgiveness, it's difficult to forgive others. Colossians 1 and verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And so forgiveness, as it relates to how we relate to others, is only possible as well through the blood of Christ. I'd like to just read this song, Muse O My Soul. So you think about treasures of the soul and the things that are important to those that are seriously interested in their relationship with God. I guess these thoughts were taken from a devotional that Geoffrey Martin had not long before he passed away, 18-year-old boy, and I just think it adds, an 18-year-old young man sharing these thoughts adds a lot of meaning to this song. Muse, O my soul, set thy heart now to ponder thy narrow span of time. Look to thy end, let eternity yonder speak to thee in thy prime. Wake from thy sleep, lo, far spent is the night. Truly, the day is now at hand. Cast off the darkness, be armored with light. Give all thy heart to understand. See then, my soul, that you walk circumspectly. Let not the fool hold sway. Buy up the time, judge the moment correctly. Shun well the evil day. Be not unwise, know the will of the Lord. Filled with the Spirit ceaselessly. Speak forth in song all the indwelling word, and in thy heart make melody. Time will not linger, refuse all delusions, few are thy days at best. Act lest thy aims all be brought to confusion, quickly pursue thy quest. God thy devotion alone doth deserve, yield to his kingdom all thy days. He from destruction thy works will preserve, and crown with glory all thy ways. May God help us to live more and more like him.